Our gospel reading comes from Luke 11, verses 5 through 13. And then he said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend traveling through just showed up, and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children's are all down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground, knocking and waking all the neighbors, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask Him? Here ends our scripture reading. May we once again sense God's presence in our midst as we dive into the text and as we seek to make out deep inside what message is in there for me this very day. Brothers and sisters, friends, you know in our times many people take life far too seriously. There's an old Chinese beatitude that goes like this. Blessed are they who can laugh at themselves. They shall never cease to be entertained. The truth is, we are a downright uptight people. A Lewis Harris poll concluded, listen to this, that 86% of Americans live with chronic stress. And while 60% do nothing about stress, but simply carry it around. We can derive from these statistics one thing for sure. The truth is that here in America, we have become a nation of warriors, not with an A, with an O, warriors. In our time, so many struggle with overpowering emotions of gloom, desperation, and helplessness that could lead to full-scale depression involving the body, the mood, and thoughts that affect the way a person eats, sleeps, feels about him or herself, and thinks about things. It's of no use simply telling people that they should not be depressed when they are indeed depressed. They realize that hope and smiles are better than despair and tears, and that there is no logical reason why they should feel despair. But you know what? They still do. So the real question that many of us carry in our hearts is simply, please tell me, how can I snap out of these negative emotions and feelings that I carry around with me? There's not an easy answer. If you want the answer, you need to search on a much, much deeper level. Hope is an inner conviction that there is a loving God in ultimate control of the universe. It's a foundation of our faith. While despair is an inner denial that leaves us with feelings of helplessness and hopelessness and loneliness. So, the gospel of Jesus Christ that we read this morning emphasizes not punishment for guilt, but pardon and restitution. Not condemnation, but mercy and grace. Not defeat, but victory. It does not dwell on the temporal, but reach to the eternal. Not the shadow, but to the light. So many people reach for inner strength to lift them from the darkness of midnight to the brightness of the morning sun. And when they reach deep inside, they so often discover that they have nothing. Nothing but emptiness deep inside. They discover that there is an empty spot in their lives. Blaise Pascal defined this so-called empty spot as a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts that can be filled, not be filled by any created thing at all. A vacuum deep inside all of us. And he concludes, only God. Only God can fill that emptiness deep inside. So Jesus said, ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Don't set conditions to God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. And then comes the answer from Scripture. And don't you think that God the Father, who conceived us in love, will give us the Holy Spirit when we ask Him? Christian author Leonard Sweet wrote, Jesus should actually not be a word, but a way of life. Jesus should not be a word, but a way of living. Jesus proclaims a God who wants people to be happy, with a happiness that differs from the hollow and temporary pleasures of this world. Happiness of the kind that cannot be found by searching for it. Happiness that comes from within us, within me and within you. Happiness comes from the awareness that we as Christians who truly believe in God in and through Jesus Christ, that we do have mighty arms beneath us. Happiness comes from the deep down assurance that we belong to a great God who is with us and will be even with us when we move through the valley of the shadow of death. After decades in ministry, being present at so many deathbeds for more than four decades, I can tell you there's a difference when Christians die and people without hope. I've seen a serenity, an acceptance, peace, inner calm, and even joy at the end of their earthly lives. There is no greater source of true and lasting happiness in this world. In the Bible, King David could never forget the time in his life when he sinned so deeply that God felt forever out of reach. And if you read the Bible, you'll see that's when King David went through the darkest valley of sin. And that continued until that day when he discovered that he could no longer run away from God. Many of us have had such a moment in our lives, where we've been attending church, listening to sermons, singing, praying, but we leave and go away as untouched as before we came in. Many people will avoid church. They will avoid personal discussions. They stay away from these holy, so-called holy people. But for many of them comes a day when they can no longer run away from God. If anybody is still running in church this morning, come on, stop it. You can never run away from a loving God. And it's only when King David stopped running that something happened between David and David's God. David reconciled with God, and his inner pain turned into lasting joy. All of us do wrong, and I don't know about you, but I have many regrets in my life. Many things now in retrospect that I just wish I had the chance to do it differently. To do it in a new way. To do it with a sense of God's presence at that moment. Wrongdoing keeps happiness away. There is no one happier than the person whose conscience is clear. Happiness comes into the lives of those whose heavy burden of guilt is exchanged for forgiveness. When you get rid of that burden, you don't turn empty again inside, but you are filled with a sense of forgiveness. Oh, and if I know in my heart that God has forgiven me, there is not a living soul in this world that can drive me back into the darkness again. Well, this might sound a bit old-fashioned and even out of place, but let me tell you once again that confession and forgiveness, even though not popular in our times, do make a difference. When the moment comes, when you know it's now God and me, the moment has come to change from the inside out. It's not popular. We are a proud people to confess or to ask for forgiveness. However, what else can you and I do when we know inside it was me. I did wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. When we discover that we caused pain, that we did harm to other people, sitting in church while people who we can still reach out there are wondering what we're doing in church after what we did to them. That's how the world thinks in 2012. Somehow, we can never forget what we have done.
the wrong. Many of us still wrestle with unresolved guilt. And let me tell you, unresolved guilt is a destroyer of life. It will destroyer of love and happiness. Unresolved guilt lingers on in our soul like an indelible stain on a white carpet. That's the real question. Have you ever in your life even considered to say those difficult words, "I was wrong, forgive me"? If you haven't, give it a try. Somehow, after doing just that, we discover how tender, how loving, and how forgiving people can be. Is it time to do something about your empty heart and guilt-stained life, your anxious mind? Is it time to ask for forgiveness? Then I implore you, in the name of Jesus Christ, do so today, and I can assure you that the promise of Jesus will come true. Our God is sure to restore your happiness, to fill the vacuum deep inside you, and to change through your eyes the world around you. We have a God who is willing and who is waiting to give good things to His children if only they would ask. Could it be that God is still waiting for you to ask, anxious to fulfill your deepest need? Jesus put it this way: "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen.